Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WBAA News. I'm your host, Charlotte Tuggle. This week, Frankfurt Mayor Chris McBarnes is our guest, speaking to us by phone from his office. You can call in your questions for him by dialing 765-496-1999. You can also send us an email to ask@wbaa.org or tweet your question at WBAA News on Twitter. Mayor McBarnes, thanks for taking a break from all of the hot dog festival excitement to be with us today.
It's a pleasure to be here, Charlotte. As you alluded to, we are right on the eve of our annual Hot Dog Festival, which will be held next Friday and Saturday here in the city of Frankfurt. And I want to invite everyone from the region. It's always a great festival, but this year is going to be extra special. We have wonderful entertainment lined up both days, a great diversity of vendors selling great products, great food. Shoup's Country Kitchen, the official caterers of the Super Bowl, will be running our food tent this year, so the food will be outstanding. And we are officially bringing back the hot dog eating contest to the Frankfurt Hot Dog Festival. And thanks to NHK, the grand prize will be $500 cold hard cash, thanks to a generous contribution by NHK Seating of America. So, you know, if you want to come over, Charlotte, and participate there in the hot dog eating contest, I'd love to see you Saturday night, the main stage, at 6:30.
Appropriate that we're talking to the mayor of Frankfurt a day after National Hot Dog Day, I think.
I think so, too. I did see that yesterday. I got a kick out of it.
All right. So let's talk about a call to action you sent out earlier this week. The Wabash Heartland Innovation Network, which is 10 counties around the Wabash River, including Clinton County, just got a $40 million grant from the Lilly Endowment to look at next generation manufacturing, digital agriculture, and a regional cultivation fund. Now, the regional cultivation portion of it is first. So could you kind of explain that concept to us?
Absolutely. Well, first, I believe the Wabash Heartland Innovation Network, what they're trying to do, creating an ecosystem in this 10-county region to really make this area the global epicenter of digital ag, next-gen manufacturing, along with this regional cultivation fund. And regional cultivation fund, I love their pillars of education and vitality. And connection within our communities, connectivity. And it really goes along with what we've been fighting for here in the city for the past 7 years, from bringing a blossoming Ivy Tech community college to our downtown, to creating public-private partnerships to create wonderful green spaces for the vitality of our community, such as Prairie Creek Park. And let's not forget the connectivity. That goes back to initiatives such as our Frankfurt Future Leaders Advisory Council, connecting our up-and-comers with local leaders, local businesses, so that we can raise up and train more professionals in this community. And then also supporting and pushing programs such as the governor's work ethic certificate program. I just believe in what Wynn is doing. I want to help carry that torch here in Frankfurt, and I really believe that this 10-county region is going to not only lead the United States, but lead globally when it comes to these things. And couldn't be prouder to help carry the torch as mayor and be a part of this great initiative.
So the term community vitality, it seems to me a little different from quality of life. We certainly talk a lot about that. In this case, there seems to be more emphasis on how much residents are participating. So it's not just, you know, what the city is or the county or the area is offering. It's how much people are interacting with those kind of resources. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely, yes. And that's the thing I love about Wynn. Again, they're trying to create an ecosystem where businesses, industries, leaders of communities, and citizens of communities plug themselves in the appropriate way, find their passion, making sure that we have programming to connect our educators and our manufacturing and small business leaders so that we can create curriculum that will prepare the next great workforce here in this country, along with focusing on initiatives such as green space. I believe that ties in well with vitality. So hitting on all the main points that I think rural Indiana and this 10-county region really needs to focus on to grow the middle class, create a sustainable workforce that will help bring more jobs here to our region and bring more private investment.
So getting that resident reaction to different aspects of the community, how much they're participating in what the area has to offer, is that something that's hard for the city to gauge on its own?
Well, over the past 7 years, we've really focused on citizen voice and communications. That's two of the four pillars that I have and have had since being mayor of the city. And so, you know, I feel like Frankfort's really tied in with the Wabash Heartland Innovation Network very well from that standpoint because, you know, to this point in time, we've held 7 or 8 Clinton County Leadership Summits, bringing in people from all different facets of leadership across this community, getting us in one room close to twice a year and conversing on the issues of the day, finding that whether you're a township leader or a county leader or a school board leader, we have much more in common than we have in difference. And it takes us all working well in our specific sphere, rowing towards the same goal to help grow a community that's sustainable, that attracts high-paying jobs, that gives the workforce of tomorrow the opportunities they need to cultivate the skills to make them successful. And then having events like Operation Spring Cleanup every year, you know, an event where we have Volunteer Week and we have citizens come out and plug in to our different parks throughout the city, which we have 6 of them. So I think that's the special sauce that could really thrust us forward. In Frankfort, we've always had the mantra of we need a volunteer army of 16,400 people, and that's why I wanted to get that survey out on our Facebook page, on our city website, asking people to fill out this survey. It will only help the WIN initiative focus on the order of the day, and that's what the citizens want, and that's so important.
So you're urging residents to take this survey, and when we'll use it to see what the priorities of the people who live in this area are. So now we'd like to ask you a few questions from the survey.
Yes.
We've pulled a sample size of them. We've condensed it a little bit, so you'll be talking about the city of Frankfort. We're not asking you to cover 10 counties in the next few minutes, but these are all on a disagree, don't know, and agree scale. And for time's sake, I'll ask you, after you say disagree, don't know, or agree, name one thing you think the city is doing well pertaining to these statements and one thing that might need improvement, or one thing you may not be surprised if that shows up in the results of the survey. So number one, residents of our community regularly use its parks, trails, and other public spaces.
I agree. I think, you know, we raised close to $680,000 to help build Prairie Creek Park. That's a public-private partnership. If our citizens didn't believe in our green space program throughout the city, I doubt we would have been able to raise that money to make that project a reality. But I will say we can do a better job when it comes to programming within our parks. One thing we're doing next year is we're going to utilize our neighborhood center to have yoga classes, to have horticulture classes, to have safe spaces for our children to engage in. And our parks department's going to run that. We have yoga in the park this year. We have our summer movie concert series, and I want to see more of that as we move into the future, so I think that's something we can build upon.
All right, number two, our community celebrates and promotes its culture and heritage.
I think we can do a better job of that, so I think it's very, very important, but I think we can do a better job. I think one of the strengths that Frankfort has is the diversity of our population. You know, we have wonderful individuals in this community from all different backgrounds, all different skin colors, and heritages. And I think that could make Frankfort stronger as we move forward into the future. And it's up to me, as a leader, to help promote a culture in the community that celebrates all different backgrounds and all different nationalities. But I think that we can be doing a better job in that. And once we do, our community will be stronger for it.
All right, and number three from the survey, in our community, so Frankfort, residents have access to quality healthcare services.
I agree. Capitalism and competition is a great thing, and now in the city, we really have two giants of healthcare in our community now that we didn't 2 years ago, and that's IU Health and St. Vincent's, and actually Witham, because St. V's and Witham are pairing up for a clinic on the east side of the community. So competition's good. We have two giants of the healthcare sector now within our community, kind of battling for market share. And I believe that will lead to more specialties coming to Frankfort in terms of the different healthcare practices and more primary care providers. If you would have asked me this question a year ago, I would have said we have a long way to go. But with IU Health doing such a great job and having the presence of other healthcare providers, I think we're going to get where we need to be.
All right. Number four, there are activities available for young adults, so 21 to 35 years of age, according to the survey, in our community.
Yeah, so we can be doing a much better job in this area as well. But I think it's important to look at what we have. You know, have an Ivy Tech community college, having a nationally award-winning library, building a space like Prairie Creek Park. We know this has been an issue for us. How do we engage our millennials? How do we create an ecosystem here that attracts the best and the brightest to want to come back to Clinton County and Frankfort after they complete that secondary education? That's why we focused so hard on creating these public-private partnerships to build projects such as Prairie Creek Park that a small community like Frankfort wouldn't be able to do otherwise. And then I also look at the housing issue that we have. I'm working with housing subdevelopment directors right now that are looking at bringing a new residential housing development to Frankfort. We have the Nickel Plate Flats in the downtown, which offers chic, modern, upscale downtown living opportunities. So through all of these initiatives, I'm keeping our young people in mind and our young at heart in mind, because when it comes to living, when it comes to amenities and programming, take, for example, our golf course. You know, saving that golf course was a big deal. We are starting to build a community that has more activities for our young people, which also is critical.
All right, and we've got one more directly lifted from the survey going out to residents. It is, I have to leave my community to take advantage of services or purchase products or go to businesses that I prefer.
Again, I think our community, we could be doing a better job when it comes to that. Now, are we seeing an uplift with great ice cream shops in the downtown? Yes, we are. Whiskey Rose, a wonderful women's boutique clothing shop that is just going like gangbusters, has now come into our downtown. But why has this happened? It's happened because we've made strategic public investments. We've created an ecosystem in our downtown that's now supporting mom-and-pop businesses, that's driving more people to our downtown to take part and spend their money in these nice family-owned stores in downtown Frankfort. This isn't something that we had 8 years ago, but we're starting to see the rewards from these efforts. And once we get Prairie Creek Park up and lifted off the ground, once Nickel Plate Flats is fully inhabited, our downtown core is truly going to be the front porch of this community again. We're going to revive Main Street in Frankfort, and it's something that I think the rest of rural Indiana can look at and say, hey, that's a model we want to follow in regards to how we re-synergize and rebuild the quaintness of small towns that truly doesn't revolve around the big box stores, but the small family-owned businesses that made our community what it was in the early 1900s.
So overall, what do you think of the survey? What kind of picture of Frankfort is Wynn going to get after they receive feedback?
I think all the questions that were asked is spot on. Again, you know, the regional cultivation, wrapping it around education and vitality and connectivity. You know, I look at that as a leader and I think, perfect. That's perfect, because from the education standpoint, raising our young people up and having those discussions between our workforce leaders and our industrial park and small businesses and our teachers and our principals and our superintendents, we need to get them working even better together, and this initiative is going to accomplish that. Truly showing why vitality and quality of place is important for small communities to build a workforce, to grow our middle class, and to attract the best and brightest to places like Frankfort. And then the connectivity, making sure that we all as local leaders, whether you're a county leader, a city leader, a school board leader, a township leader, or a leader in the not-for-profit sector, we all need to be working together, have a game plan to go in the same direction, because that's the only way we're going to make cities and communities like Frankfort successful. And then you layer on top of that, bringing in state-of-the-art, cutting-edge technology through the Internet of Things, through the use of low-cost digital sensors to make our manufacturing sector more efficient, to make our agriculture sector more efficient, more productive, to widen those profit margins, to help them carry out their business in a swifter manner. It's perfect. I'm just such a big believer in it, and I think if all of our 10 counties buy into this program, work closely with Wynn, we could see huge dividends, and we could really put our flag in the ground and say, hey, you know, if you're a business leader, if you're a farming leader, if you're a young family, if you're coming out of school with a professional degree and you're looking for a great place to settle down to reach your most potential in life, this 10-county area will be the place to come.
If you have a question for Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes, you can call it in by dialing 765-496-1999. You can also send an email to ask@wbaa.org or tweet your question to @WBAA News on Twitter. I want to switch gears a little bit to talk about the Indiana Municipal Power Agency's proposal to build a solar park in Frankfort. It would be just south of the Frankfort Municipal Airport. It would also be the IMPA's largest solar park to date. What is your initial impression of a project like this?
I love it. I think it's so progressive, the renewable energy aspect, and you know, really the low impact that a solar park would have on even adjacent property owners. I think it's a win-win-win. For us, we own close to a 60-acre plot. When I say we, I mean the Frankfort Municipal Utilities, adjacent to our water treatment site. Right now, we are leasing that ground out to a farmer to raise crops and harvest, and we're getting about $225 an acre. With this project, we'd be receiving close to $333 an acre, so it would be a win financially for us, and not only for us, but for the ratepayers of Frankfort. What will happen is the energy that's produced through this solar park will go back onto our grid. And what IMPA is doing across the state with all of their members, which is in excess of 60 members, they're creating these solar parks. And what it's doing is it's bringing sustainable energy back onto the grid. And then how this affects a monthly ratepayer is on their bill, they're seeing a negative tracker factor. That tracker factor is put on the bill so that we as a city can use that as a pass-through to offset our purchase power costs. A negative tracker factor means less money out of hard-working citizens' pockets on an annual basis because we're putting this renewable energy into our portfolio. And so it's a win-win. The Frankfort Municipal Utilities will see revenue increase in terms of leasing out this 60-acre plot. Our ratepayers will see a reduction in cost, and I just think it's the prudent thing to do. You know, as we're in this era of fossil fuels and drilling and digging, I think it's the prudent and responsible thing to do to look at this alternative of renewable energy, and to be a part of that, I think will be really special. And I think it, yet again, just like we were talking about with the Wabash Heartland Innovation Network, I think it'll be one more flag in the ground that, hey, we can take our young people from our schools out to this solar park in Frankfort. I can take manufacturing leaders out there. And I think it'll show Frankfort as, yes, we have a small town feel, but we have big city sophistication. We're progressive. We're looking into the future. And all that is great for me. I love it.
So that seems to be a big difference when the energy is used locally. That's often an argument that comes up about wind energy development projects. That energy is often sent elsewhere. So keeping it locally and people actually seeing that reflected on their own bill, do you think that makes, you know, the significant difference when people are considering this?
I think it does, Charlotte. I think you just hit the nail on the head, and you're absolutely right. That's a divisive part of the conversation when it comes to wind. You know, a lot of that goes out to the East Coast. It sits on energy grids that service the East Coast. At least that's been my experience of the presentations I've heard thus far. This will stay local. It will stay on the grid that we purchase power from. And we will partner with other communities that are IMPA communities that do have solar parks in their communities. They're also progressive. Richmond is one of them. And because of this, we will all see a reduction in our electric rates that we're paying out on a monthly basis. And, hey, if we can save someone $30-$40 a month, that's a big deal. You know, that's a trip to the doctor. That's groceries for a week for my wife and I. That's a big deal. So we love it. We're going to continue to work with IMPA, and I hope that our Utility Service Board approves this effort. We're going to look into a couple things just to make sure we don't have any unintended consequences. We want to put some test wells out for water. Because this is adjacent to our water treatment site, we just want to make sure if we enter into a 50-year lease that we won't need that land down the road to expand our water treatment plant. So as long as our due diligence period passes here with no question marks, I see us entering into this and having a world-class solar park right here in the city of Frankfort.
One of the points that the power agency also brought up is that a solar energy source in a community is also appealing to site developers. Have you heard some of the same experience from something like that?
Absolutely. I was just sitting down. I had lunch with a plant manager yesterday, and we were talking about electric rates, and we were talking about, because I always ask our plant managers, our industrial leaders, what are your brother and sister plants paying in electric across the nation? Can you share that with me? And they do, because I want to see where we're at. And I know it's a total package. You got to take into account corporate income tax. You got to take into account property taxes. It's not in a vacuum, but that overhead is important, and I want to know where we're at in comparison to other parts of the country, because I want to promote investment here in Frankfort. And, you know, he and I were talking about this solar park and talking about how this was going to positively impact not only residential, but also our manufacturers when it comes to energy cost. And the individual loved it. And so, yes, I do believe that industrial leaders, site selectors, they look at things like this, and I think it's a signal, it's a clue that says, wow, yeah, this is a small community, but you know what? They're looking forward into the future. They're diversifying their energy portfolio. They're doing everything they can to rein in costs to us, and that's going to equate to more jobs. That's going to equate to more investment and more forward momentum for cities like Frankfort.
It is part of a larger discussion, too. What's the state of renewable energy in Frankfort? How would you describe that to someone? It's obviously something that the city is looking into. How would you describe as it is now and what you need to work on in a general sense?
Yeah, so I think projects like this help get us to where we need to be. Obviously, I don't want to be reliant. Just philosophically, I hate being reliant on only one form of energy, and most of this is out of our hands. Although, just like with this project, you know, we went to IMPA and we said, listen, we want to be a community with a solar park because we want to help diversify how we consume energy, not only here in Frankfort but across the state of Indiana, as long as it's responsible. And I think solar is a big opportunity not only for Frankfort but other communities across the state. Because of what you said, it can stay local, so residents can see a benefit on their monthly bill. It has a low impact to adjacent property owners. To my knowledge, it's not going to depress any property values. People don't have to look at something and be negatively affected by it, even living a mile or two away from it. So there's just a lot of check marks when it comes to solar. Now, you know, what I would eventually like to see one day, and I know we're probably down the road from this, I'd like to see us become a zero landfill community. I'd love to see a community like Frankfort have the ability to take all the trash that we are now taking out to the landfill, incinerate that trash, develop steam off the removal of the trash through incineration, and then turn that back into somehow pumping energy back on our grid. Now, I know that sounds incredibly futuristic, but I don't think we're too far off when it comes to technology like that. I think there's companies out there working on things like that right now. I know GE was working on this way back in the day, but they removed it and obviously are wildly successful in other arenas. So it's ideas like this that I think moving forward into the future to keep our ecosystem clean, to diversify the way we consume energy, to keep energy costs in check, you know, harebrained ideas like that are going to have to be sought after.
I want to switch gears again to talk about school safety. We're coming up on the first day of school for this year, and I wanted to revisit a statement that you sent out after the Noblesville shooting. Of course, that school just about 45 minutes down the road from Frankfort. You threw out some safety measure ideas after that happened, and we did a story with your police chief, Troy Bacon. His goal is to have a resource officer in every school by the start of this year. So, since you sent out that statement, has there been any more discussion about how to improve safety or implement new safety measures in Frankfort schools?
Yes, ma'am. So I've met several times with our superintendent of our schools, Don DeWeese, here in the city. I've also held an executive session with our common counsel, Chief Troy Bacon, and Don DeWeese, superintendent of schools of Frankfort, to have a team conversation about this. And it's not a matter of if. We are going to have a police officer in every school here in the city of Frankfort on the first day of school. And as long as I'm mayor, that's going to be the case. And so I charged Chief Bacon with putting together this game plan on the resources he would need. And, I just wrapped up my 2019 budget proposal today to send on to the council. That will be presented to our common council on Monday night. And I'm proud to say that I will be presenting to the council a truly balanced budget, pairing our revenues with expenditures, not counting on any unexpended appropriations or percentage thereof to meet a balanced budget. I'm very proud of this budget we're putting forward. It's very financially responsible while at the same time meeting the needs of the city, and that includes hiring two more school resource officers for Suncrest Elementary and Blue Ridge and Green Meadows. We will have one floating school resource officer that will bounce between all the schools, and then partnering with the community schools of Frankfort, there will still be a school resource officer within the Frankfort Middle School and the Frankfort High School. So I thought it was very important that I jumped on this. I wanted our parents to know in the city that we're doing everything we can to make sure their children are safe. That's just something I will not bend on. We are going to do this. Our children will be safer. And also, it'll give our children the opportunity to interact with police officers, learn from a positive mentor, and I think that helps our young people out in life as well. So there's a lot of positives to this.
All right, and in the last few minutes, I wanted to touch on this Jobs for Life initiative. These are classes run by the church and local businesses in Frankfort, and they are preparing, you know, students for the workforce. There's been a lot of talk of soft skills, basically having a professional attitude. It's things like that I've read about, you know, mock job interviews. You get to talk to people who actually run businesses to get advice. I wanted to get your take on what kind of value comes from having local businesses leading classes like this.
Oh, it's huge. And Charlotte, I'm so glad you brought up the Wabash Heartland Innovation Network. You know, that's one of their main cornerstones under regional cultivation is education. And I got to give it to Gary Henriot and Gary Lehman and the core team, Mary Ann over there in Tippecanoe County. You know, one big thing they're working on is making sure that the governor's workforce ethic certificate program is implemented in all schools in this 10-county region. And I got to tell you, it's so smart. Jobs for Life is right there with a program like that. It's teaching our young people good work ethic skills, honesty, integrity, critical thinking skills, and linking them with positive mentors that have been successful professionally in this community. I spoke to the last graduating class of the Jobs for Life program here a couple months ago at First Presbyterian Church, and what Tom Crawford and the crew has done over there is great. These young people, I could see it in their eyes. They were inspired. They were confident. They felt very positive on their outlook. You know, at their graduation, they had suits on, and you could just see a change in them from when they first started to where they are now. And it gives them a confidence to take this next step in life. And also, it's a program that we can go to employers and say, hey, listen, if someone successfully completes the Jobs for Life program, or if someone successfully completes the governor's work ethic certificate program, what can you do? Can you give them a guaranteed interview? Can you give them a guaranteed 5% raise at the end of the completion of their first successful year? And we're getting a positive feedback from our industrial leaders when it comes to that. People in this community, in this region, need to understand that we have a huge crisis on our hands when it comes to workforce. I have industries in our park that are talking about flying people in from Japan and overseas to fill job roles right now. And so it's more important now than ever that we focus on these workforce development programs and not just the math and science, but just the fundamental skills that a person needs to be successful. And that's what this program does.
All right, that's our time for today. Mayor McBarnes, thanks so much for being with us.
Charlotte, thanks, and I'll see you at the Hot Dog Festival, everyone.
All right. You can find this program at our website, WBAA.org, along with an archive of our other shows. Thank you for listening, and have a great rest of the day.
Support for WBAA comes from your membership and Encompass Credit Union, supporting Ask the Mayor and offering a full line of financial services to the people of Clinton and Tipton counties while supporting the communities they serve. More information at EncompassCU.org.